Well, we begin the second portion of this study in because the familiarity of it and how it speaks to you and I to give us a sense of direction and a sense of hope. And as we look at this in light of this Captured by Heaven series, it is without question when we look at this that it has direct correspondence and direct connotation towards the eternal aesthetics and eternal application involved. Nevertheless, one of the things that we're going to develop in this verse is not just the eternal hope that we have and that Christ speaks of and promises, but how the physical, the temporal, is directly related and correspondent to all that. Can I just say, folks, I've never looked at this passage this way. And it's so neat to come to these passages that we know so well and to get more out of them that further proves to us the Word of God is exhaustive, folks. It's so neat to come to God's Word and get some information there, get some practical principles for our lives and encourage us in one area, and then we come back to that same passage later down the road in our lives as we're dealing with another difficult circumstance or unique situation, and that passage speaks to us in a whole different way. And it's so neat how diverse God's Word really is in terms of the practical application. Ultimately, we know in principles of interpretation, there is only ever one interpretation of passages of Scripture. We must look at it objectively, look at it literally, look at it historically in all those different elements involved. But there can be many applications that develop from that interpretation. And this morning, we're going to look at this in more of the practical setting here, if you will. Last week, we looked at that concept of the presence of God as the greatest value of heaven. And that heaven itself would not be heaven if God were not there. And indeed, it is great to look forward to the idea of no suffering, no pain, no sorrow, the idea of absolute perfection and paradise. But folks, paradise isn't paradise without God. And so indeed, the greatest thing that we have to look forward to, and indeed, the greatest thing that we should be developing here on this earth, in light of that thing that we have to look forward to, is that consummating relationship that we have with Him. As we go further in this, then, we look at this subject today in this Captured by Heaven series entitled Understanding Our Purpose and Being. Understanding Our Purpose and Being. I don't know about you, but as we go through life, the idea of determining, discovering who we are, what we are supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be actively involved in, can really become sort of hairy ground or gray areas. And even in the times when we think that we know this is who I am, this is where I'm supposed to be, this is what entails my person in essence, if you will, we start to question, even over time, what is this really all about? I don't know about you, but I have asked the questions in my life. What is life all about? What does life really mean? What is the purpose in it all? And I don't think there's a person out there in this world today that hasn't asked those questions. I don't think there's a person out there today that is not searching in some way, in some fashion, in some form, through some avenue to try and discover some sense of meaning or some sense of purpose for their lives. They want understanding. But sadly, most often is the case that we search in the wrong ways. We search with the wrong preconditions involved. We search more from a selfish context more than a selfless context, if you will, oftentimes. And isn't it beautiful here, as we look at this passage, the statements that our Lord makes answers the very cries of our heart. It gives us a sense of understanding. I don't know about you, but when we go to God's Word, isn't it neat to just open up God's Word and read it and discover it and see how all of life and reality just sort of fit into place? It's really neat to just see how you look at God's Word and what it declares, and you look at what's going on over here in the world. You look at what's going on in other people's lives. You look at what's going on even in governments and nations, and you can say, oh yeah, God had it all painted already out. The picture was already there. There's a clarity in all of that. You know, it's amazing. We looked at this one passage this morning in our Sunday school class. One of my favorite passages to go to, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, that the Lord looked onto the multitudes and He was moved with what? Compassion toward them. Kind of a hallmark trait for all of us folks as Christians is that we ourselves are not moved by our selfish agendas or selfish preferences or our own disgusts or disappointments, whatever it might be, but we are moved by the very compassion that rests upon us in every way, the love of our God. But as we look at this, one of the things I discover is that no matter what it is in life that we have or want, or what sense of direction that we may have, we evaluate each of these areas in our minds to find or develop an understanding of meaning and purpose. So much of what we do in our day-to-day here in this life creates a mode for us that helps to fabricate a sense of position that gives us our own feelings of security. Isn't that so true? We want that security. We want that stability. We want that sense of realness. We are often either working to maintain what we have or we're working towards something that we don't have in order to appease our own idea of reality and keep us comfortable and secure in our present positions. You know, these men that Christ speaks to, these disciples, they were just as happy being fishermen just before the Lord came. They had a steady job. They had a lifestyle that gave them a sense of purpose and understanding. The last thing that they wanted was to somebody to rock the boat in it all. Somebody to stir the waters and somebody to change their whole outlook and idea of what life is about. I think it's awesome the way our Lord speaks here in John 14:6. He says this, first off, I am. What's awesome about that is that declaration of deity and divinity and who God is, who our Lord and Savior is. Indeed, that statement carries tremendous, overwhelming evidence and foundation in itself, because if He isn't who He is, then we would not be, folks, plain and simple. But further, as our Lord speaks here, He says this, I am the way. That's what we'll be getting into here down the road. And we think of that concept of the way. Indeed, when we look at it in eternal connotation there, He is the way in which we can attain heaven. He is the way in which we can attain hope. Nothing else out there available will perform and produce what our Lord has done for you and I. Nothing. If Christ isn't the way, and if there is some other way to get to heaven, the question remains then, why did our Lord have to come and die on the cross? You know, and he will say, well, I'm a good person. I have done enough good deeds. I've given enough to the poor. All these different things. God says this, I don't care how much you've done good, it doesn't outweigh the bad. And guess what? In a court legal system, they're going to do the same thing if they're an honest legal system. Because they're not going to look at a man who has murdered someone and say, well, I'm going to let you off the hook because you helped out this bakery shop over here financially. Doesn't work that way. Or you helped this old woman cross the street. Doesn't work that way. You will pay the consequences for the crime. And folks, none of us are here today because of anything we've done. Doesn't matter how good it is. We're here today because of what Christ has done for us. That's the difference between Christianity and every religion out there. Because every other belief system out there says you can do this, this, and this, and this, and then hopefully that'll get you to heaven. None of it guarantees it, by the way. You look at Islam, you look at Buddhism, you look at Hindu, you look even further, you can look at the scary aspect of atheism. None of those things offer a substantial, legitimate, genuine hope. It's only in the Christian faith where it says, I'm not good enough, there's nothing I can do, I must trust in the one who is, who gave his life for me, who was the Son of God. And by the way, if he wasn't the Son of God, he was an absolutely insane man. We can all go home and sit on our back porches, folks, by the way. He is the Son of God. And so through him is the way. Through him is the only opportunity to receive hope. But let me take this a step further, folks. Because we look at it in that eternal connotation there, we have to look at it reflectively as well in this earthly connotation. Because there is a way of right living, isn't there? There is a way or sense of direction that is correct. And all other forms or ideas of what our views we may have, if they don't coincide and correspond to the one direction that the divine author of life imputed and gave to man, then it's not the way. Christ is the way. And I believe one of the struggles that we as human beings have, whether a lost person or even a Christian today, is we have this idea that we're trying to develop a sense of identity, a sense of authenticity in our lives by adding all these things in this world and creating a sense of purpose in it all and meaning. And it doesn't substantiate. And it's funny, when you go down that road, until you turn around and go the other way, what you tend to do is this. Okay, this didn't work. Now I'm going to try this over here. Or I'm going to add this to this over here. Or I'm going to do this. Or it just continues to be a downward spiral of destruction and disappointment in every way. What our Lord spoke in this declaration right here speaks not to just the hopeful eternal bliss that one day we will receive through trusting in Him. But it carries a deep fulfillment to the yearning desire of the heart for the here and now. That He is the way. And that gives meaning and purpose to our lives in every way. That's something we need to be reminded of, for sure. One of the things I say here is this. Excuse me. We live inside these boxes that we have made for ourselves. And as long as these boxes don't become defective in some way due to outside sources or our own faults, then we are at peace. Isn't that so true? In America, most especially, folks, we live in a box. We don't really get to hear and glean what really goes on in the rest of the world. Did you know that an earthquake hit Haiti this past week and killed numbers of people? You know, a tsunami hit? Where was it? Indonesia? Okay, you're paying attention more than I am here with all of this. But what was all emphasized was what was going on in our little bubble, if you will. And we like our little bubbles, don't we? The last thing we want is for something to come in and rock our world. Guess what, folks? That's what Christ does. That's what Christ does. For most of us, we're okay with never knowing anything beyond the perimeter of our boxes of self-made reason, simply because we fear any possibility of collapse that might incur. Mind you, I wrote this 6 months ago with all of this. It's amazing to stop and think about. You can add anything to this whole statement right here. And here's an opportunity for you as Christians to examine, what is it out there that I have replaced God with, that I've allowed to bring meaning and purpose and definition to my life, that doesn't find its meaning and purpose and definition in the person of Christ?
Wow.
We're going to be looking at these down the road here, and these are the three things that we're going to look at that are developed from John 14:6. Next week, we'll be looking at this statement, the quest for reason. The quest for reason. Thirdly, a clear sense of purpose. A clear sense of purpose. I'm sorry, secondly, I don't know how to count. But thirdly then, the reality of our existence. I've titled these with fancy words, so it looks a little abstract, maybe, I don't know, and maybe I sound a little smart in it all, who knows. That's not why I did that. But what we do see in these three elements is that the statements that our Lord makes, and that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, He answers the cries of the human heart, right? One of the things you'll notice about our Lord is He spoke in parables, or He spoke and taught to the masses, or He spoke to those men that were closest to Him, those disciples. He didn't devalue the earthly temporal just to describe the eternal. God realizes there is importance in both areas here. And there's relevance in that, and that for us as human beings, just to know that one day awaits us a hope of eternal bliss is great and wonderful and good, but what about right now? We need meaning and understanding and purpose and definition for our lives right now. And through this statement, Christ answers both the eternal questions that you and I have and the temporal earthly questions that you and I have. It's marveling. It's exciting. And what I would like to do for sake of time this morning, and we're not going to get into this, we were going to get into the quest of reason. We're going to transition into our communion time here this morning. And this too has relevance to what we're dealing with. Because as we look at what took place with our Lord and those 12 men in that upper room, our Lord brought together the sense of justice, the sense of reason, the sense of purpose, the sense of love. All of that converged here. He brought understanding to these men. Maybe they didn't understand at that moment in time, but the meaning and clarity of it all became clear afterwards. And as our Lord lifted up that cup, as He lifted up and passed around that bread, it was a symbol of that body that was broken, that blood that was spilt for us. And as that process was further then clarified and performed, the eyes of God's people are opened to the reality of life through His death. The eyes of God's people are opened to what the purpose of life is all about. This morning, I challenge you as we partake in these elements. It is a reminder of what our Lord has done for us in that great sacrifice. But it is also a revelation to you and I that God gives to us to help bring clarity and meaning and understanding to our lives. All of us here today, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know without a doubt that a life void of your Lord is a life with no life at all. It's lifelessness. It's hopeless. It's misery. My wife and I, and you know, are celebrating, what, 12 years? I got it right. Okay. 12 years of marriage today. Praise God for that. One of the things she stated in social media on the Facebook page there is, all praise goes to God. Because there's no way we could have done this without the Lord in our lives. It is the Lord that brings meaning, foundation, fulfillment to you personally, to you relationally, to us corporately. And without Christ, there is no sense of understanding. There is no sense of meaning. There is no sense of purpose. It all falls by the wayside, folks, in a pool of confusion. This lost world is yearning for these questions to be answered. Sadly, many Christians are still wandering with dry mouths, desiring for their thirst to be quenched in some form or fashion, and they've not looked to the author or the one in whom they've initially trusted in. I encourage you this morning. Is your Lord the way, the sense of direction, the sense of meaning, the sense of understanding, the sense of purpose in your life? Folks, if He's not, then we're going to be making foolish decisions down the road, plain and simple. We're going to be getting out when the going gets tough. We're going to lose all sense of direction. There'll be senses of chaos and turmoil and disappointment and discouragement and misery. And the list goes on with that. Thanks be to God that at any point in time we can turn to Him and He doesn't turn us away, but He embraces us. And we have all sense of life as it was meant to be all over again. What a marvelous thing. Is Christ the way in your life today? Does He bring meaning, fulfillment? Does He bring understanding to your life? Are you seeking Him like you should? Is He directing you as it should be today? We're going to get into more of these things as we go down the road in the weeks ahead. Can you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Father, Lord, most especially we thank You that You are who You are and that there is none like You. And You are worthy to receive all glory and honor and praise because You are God. You are the great I Am. And You're not just that, but Lord, You're the I Am that gives us the way. The way to life everlasting. The way to life in all that it was meant to be here on this earth, that is not multiplied by a mere melancholy set of things that we can put together, but it was made by You. Lord, You have said, I have come to give You life and life more abundantly. Life exactly as it was designed to be. Life fulfilling because You are fully directing us in every way. Father, I pray this morning that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, it's not about what I say here, but about what Your Spirit is saying to each one of us this morning in the situations, in the circumstances, in our thoughts, in the issues that we hold in anxiousness and worry. Lord, may we surrender this to You today. May we give this over to You, knowing that You are the way, that You will provide truth, that You will produce life through all of this as we allow ourselves to be directed by You and to be identified and defined by Your person. Father, if there's any here today that have never trusted You as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would make that decision today, that they would recognize first and foremost that they are a sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save. And it doesn't matter how horrible their sin is. Lord, Your Word tells us if we just cry out to You, confess our sins, and ask You to save us, Lord, Your Word tells us that You will save any. Doesn't matter how deep and dark and terrible the sin is. You came and You paid the price for it all. I pray they would cry out to You this morning. Lord, I pray that for us as Christians, for us as a church this morning, Lord, our minds and our methods, the motions that we go through, Lord, many of which are not maybe directed by you, Lord. Father, forgive us of that. Lord, I pray that we would surrender such things to you, and knowing that, Lord, you are directing, you are guiding, you are ever by our side. Lord, we tend to cling to it, hold on to these things and grasp them ever so tightly, thinking that we can have the control, thinking that we can handle it. Lord, we can't. You can. It is why you are the way. Lord, in the midst of circumstances that we face, in the midst of whatever we go through, not only will you direct us, but you will provide meaning and purpose to it all. We'll be able to look back retrospectively upon the various scenes and chapters of life and see not your absence, but your presence in it all. See your ever guiding hand amidst it all and how you accomplish your purpose through it all. Father, I pray that you would bless each one that is here today, that your Spirit would speak to them in a whole new way, Lord, and that they would be molded and shaped by you. We commit it to you, Father, in the name of your most precious Son, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to have the men come down this morning then as we take up that communion time. I want to make it clear, first and foremost, that our communion is not a closed communion. The only prerequisite or requirement for you to partake in this communion time is that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, plain and simple. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to give to the church to be a part of this communion. This is a time for all of us as God's people to look back in memory of what our Lord has done for us. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of examination. To make sure our hearts and our minds are in the right place. To make sure that our sense of loyalty and allegiance is to Him. And if that isn't right, this is a great opportunity to get it right today, folks. God wants communion with His people. God wants relationship with His children. And this is a deep, deep symbol and reflection of that very thing. So, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11... He says this, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask Brother Jack, would you pray for the bread, sir? Our Lord said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." Paul continues in Corinthians 11 there and saying, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Yes, Brother Todd, would you be willing to pray for the cup, sir?
Thank you, Lord, for this provision. Thank you for giving us a way to heaven and eternal life with you. Take this in remembrance of you and remember all the things you've always done for us and will do for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Our Lord said, "This is my blood that was spilt for you. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me." Would you stand with me this morning as we close the service in the first line of Amazing Grace? This is typically done a cappella, but if we got music to it, it sure helps, doesn't it? So, thank you for coming today. I'm available to speak with any who would like to speak with me after the service and be available for you with anything at all that I can help you with. And thank you again for just the blessing that you've been, for sure. So let's sing, shall we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Have a great week. You are dismissed.